Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Polo pot pie.
Right. I was always, as a kid, chicken pot pie day would always burn me. Like, I just never got into it. I'd get something else. It seemed
you mean
difficult.
It burn you like the roof of your mouth, like Rob Spiewak being burned by a chicken pot pie?
No.
Now, what does that mean?
Oh. Diet Coke. Okay,
that's the weird first thing to be out of.
That's the first moment where they start to bone me as I'm in there.
No Diet Coke?
No.
That's
plenty,
a staple.
Plenty of a product that, as far as I'm concerned, you could dump off a barge in the middle of the ocean, and that's Coke Zero.
Oh, that's not that bad. You're making
an exaggeration. It's a mistake. It's a terrible misstep.
Sucks. Where's the part where Oscar gave?
He gave his auction ticket.
Mike, you're looking for the fat guy.
He gave that auction ticket to Julia.
Oh, I wasn't listening. I'm sorry. I was looking for a fat guy. Oscar's right.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, Rob Spiewak. And now, here's Mike.
That's Eric Quick. He's a listener, right?
Yeah.
That's a wonderful Eric Quick, the very first guy that we've had as our guest announcer today. We're very happy to
all
do that.
All week, baby,
Mike,
all week.
He Oscar has been with Santana's us for idea. Over 16 years, Eric has. He heard us first in Portland, Oregon, but now he set up housekeeping with his family in Freeport, Illinois, and works as a beer brewer at Phase 3 Brewing Company in Lake Zurich, Illinois, and his one wish is that we would take and do a live show in Milwaukee. He wants us out there.
That is a probability, I would say we've got 80% in the next 9 years.
80% of going or not going?
Going.
Okay,
good.
That's Eric.
Milwaukee is a fun town.
That is awesome. We're very happy. From Washington, D.C., this is the Mike O'Mara Show, a daily radio show and podcast with a loyal legion of listeners who are part of our family and who listen every day in every corner of the world. This is TMOS, heard in great places like Baghdad, Arizona, Belhaven, North Carolina, Pueblo, Colorado, and Chesapeake, Virginia, along with South Padre Island, Texas. That'll be in the news today.
Oh.
And Maluku, Indonesia. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. We didn't take notice yesterday of the milestone with the pandemic, and I did feel an obligation to say some words about it, and there will be that small number of people in the audience to say, oh, no, you're not going to be serious again. We will get... We are going to take a second out of our morning here as we tape this show just to have me share a few of my thoughts with you about this pandemic. This is something I have thought about often during this time where we do a lot of counting. We do a lot of counting, especially down here in Florida. There was a time, I don't do it like I used to, there was a time where I would... every single day I would check the numbers. I think everybody did that at the beginning.
Yeah, the dashboard.
And I know that I beat feet out of Florida when we had our first day of, I think we were going to leave and get out of town when if it hit 3,000.
Well, we had a big back and forth. Yeah. I remember, Mike.
Yeah. Whether we were going to go or not,
yeah.
Right?
And I said, you leave when there's like a sniff of a hurricane. And you're not leaving when there's a pandemic surging?
Yeah.
And I left, and then that weekend, 15,000. Went from 3,000 to 15,000. That was the breaking point. I said, if it's 3,000 cases or more tomorrow, we're going to get out of town. And it was. And then kaboom. And then we came back, and then kaboom again.
Yeah.
And we had all been kind of desensitized to the numbers and not as, I think like most people, not taking it really as seriously, although we all were wearing masks. A lot of things became routine. But as far as
if you don't mind, in fairness to you, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but there is a different lens that people in the Sun Belt look at this pandemic. There is.
And there was also a lot of waves.
I don't know. Because, I mean, I live down here, so I guess you're right. But I don't know what the lens is for other people other than when I talk to my my sister and, I watch reports.
And it's been a crazy year where there were so many waves of different theories that people seem to grab onto. Remember, it wasn't going to live in the summer because it was hot.
And it
turned out to be nonsense.
We didn't have any leadership at the White House at the time that was really telling us what was going on.
That's very
or
true.
Directing really the truth towards the citizens of this country saying, hey, this is real. This is not going to go away anytime soon. Like, hunker down.
I don't think it's political at all to reflect on what may have been if we had had a singular national policy of prevention and testing and an earlier embrace
of the fact that it was a problem.
You can call that political. I call that just, what would have been. You know? And right now, I can say the same thing about the current administration. Are they doing enough? Are we getting the vaccine? Doesn't look like it. Looks like maybe they could do better.
Yeah,
I think
but
that's
you've got a snapshot of the current administration. We had 4 years.
I think
years.
So. Yeah, but I mean, I'm simply using that as an example.
Yeah.
But now, and feel free to jump in and correct me if you think I'm wrong about this. But when we talk about the lens, you're talking about the lens of how we looked at protecting ourselves.
And I'm talking about the public health lens.
The public health lens.
Yes.
I want to talk about the lens that we all as Americans may be looking at this through when we remember yesterday the milestone of 500,000 people. I remember looking at those numbers back in March, hearing those type of numbers speculated about and having my jaw drop and thinking to myself, this maybe couldn't be real, that this couldn't really happen. And then it went on and on. Here's what I wanted to share with you guys and with our listening audience. And I wrote some thoughts down here. When we look at the loss of life and we look at it statistically, I think we numb our empathy. I think anybody that deals with even somebody that they don't know, if there's a tragic loss of an individual in your neighborhood or on the news down here, if it's one person, you say, oh, wow, that's it. As soon as we started putting the numbers in the thousands up, I think that numbs our empathy. I think we became desensitized to the daily numbers. I know I did, because we'd all look at that and go, oh man, 30,000 in this state, 28,000 in that state. Wow, this goes on. If you've ever gone through loss, and there are people in our audience that have, I know personally, and there are people that haven't, it's easier to understand how people feel if you go through that. That's just a reality. If you go through loss, that's why in many cases people that have been through something work as counselors and they work trying to help people out. It's easier to understand loss if you've been through loss. Please today, I ask all of our listeners to keep in your heart the human tragedy of this pandemic. Just today, because I know you might not be able to do it. Well, because I don't know what your world is, and I don't know what you live with, and I don't know what you have to do to get it done. But I think today it might be a good idea to reflect, to keep it in your heart. Mothers, daughters, fathers, sons, uncles, aunts, grandparents, friends, newlyweds, young people, old people, people with hopes, people with dreams, people's loves, tragedies, people that have gone through every kind of human experience, people that we have lost, people, all of them with extraordinary lives who are now gone. That's 500,000 plus Americans that have gone. And I'm going to ask all of our listeners today to do this as a favor to me personally and as a favor to your neighbors. Have the courage to show your empathy today. Have the courage to show your empathy today. Don't be afraid of it. I think sometimes we get afraid of showing it. It takes courage to show empathy. I believe that. I've always believed that. If you show empathy, a lot of people can perceive it as weakness. Mm-hmm. Nah, I don't want to hear about that. I don't want to worry about that. Say, 500, I think we all should think about them today. Most people are going to agree with you. So it's not all that courageous to do it. There are a lot of other things you could do that would be a lot more, Sorry about that.
All right.
That would be a lot more courageous to do. I don't think it's bad to show that empathy. So, you know, do that and have the courage to acknowledge that, you know, that 500,000 lives have been lost today, if you don't mind. I'd really like you to do that for me because I think that it's a number, you know, and you go, wow, 500,000 people. And I watched a show last night on one of the streaming services. I forgot which one. I don't recommend it for everybody. It's called The End Game, and it was about hospice workers and palliative care people. And Oscar's family has probably been around that when you're dealing with people at the end of their lives. And I said, after watching that, and Carl and I had tears in our eyes watching this, it was just interesting to think, you know, because of going through the experience of being at a bedside and holding the hand of somebody as they die, which I have been both blessed and cursed to experience. Here's the difference for most of these 500,000 people. They didn't have that. And if you can just find it in your heart to take a moment and realize that 500,000 people who probably didn't even have the opportunity to even touch or be kissed or be hugged or be smiled at by a loved one in their room next to them. They didn't have that. This is the worst thing imaginable. There are more painful deaths, I'm sure. There are more sudden deaths, more tragic deaths, but nothing can ever change the fact that they went away alone, except for the very brave first-line workers that were in healthcare. So please do that. I really talk about empathy a lot when I talk to friends and family members, and I need help in my own life, I think, as we all do, with my own level of empathy on a different level. I think we all need to work on it, probably. In many cases, empathy requires a substantial effort. It does. It's so easy not to empathize. It is much easier not to empathize than to empathize. You can feel much more able to go on with your life if you remove empathy from your life.
Empathy is almost the reverse of a defense mechanism. When you can sort of eliminate or at least disregard empathy, you are steeling yourself against all the things that are around you.
Yeah, we're kind of taught to do that. And
we
really are.
You have to do it. I mean, I've been through a lot with my son, and that was a really tough few years for me. And because of that, I don't think I lacked empathy, but I did compartmentalize because you have to. Because if, I mean, it was such an important, he's a leukemia survivor, just as a brief reset, and he was a 3 to 4 year process. They called it his roadmap of being treated. And if I sat down and thought about what he was going through minute to minute, hour to hour, day to day, that's all I could do. Because it was that forefront of my, and there were some nights when I would just break down and cry and get it out, and then, you know, put it back and start the next day. And that's your defense mechanism. You have to sometimes focus on something else, because if you really do, what you said about numbers, Mike, is so telling. We are a nation that loves statistics and breaking stuff down and doing comparisons. But every time you do a comparison or a numerical statistic analysis of this pandemic, it dehumanizes it, because you're not talking about the people, you're talking about numbers. And we need to open ourselves to realize that that's not 500,000. That's 500,000 souls there.
Well, and we don't know them. And
we don't,
in most cases,
but it's still
we don't have
people.
Any idea who
it's
they are.
It's still people, though, and we gotta know that. We gotta feel
and what
that.
Better day to put forward that effort for a little empathy than today, or yesterday? But I mean, and I'm talking about it today.
Yeah.
You know, what better day to put forward the effort for a little empathy and sharing it? I don't know how you do it.
Well, I think the best way to do it is honestly, and when you see these montages on the news. It's a stark reminder of what just, and frankly, what's continuing to happen on a daily basis. We have better data now that says, you know, we're doing a little better day by day, but we're not out of the woods. We don't know what's going to happen the next 6 months. There are certain things that are becoming a little more normal. The idea that, you know, personally, I could see my brother after roughly a calendar year and feel safe for him to travel. and his ability to get the vaccine because he's a frontline worker meant the world to me. But it also was a reminder when I dropped him off curbside at Reagan National and there was nobody on the curb.
Right. Yeah.
Because he's an outlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's so early that it was him and us in another car and the rest was empty. Like the airport was closed.
Yeah.
And the political side of it, where if you're still hanging on to we don't need to wear a mask, I would look at that big number. You know, I would say that in itself should open your eyes to say, yeah, they're not wrong,
right?
Wear a mask.
You know, I'll just on a political sidelight here. One of the guys that was. One of the big supporters of the other team, mm-hmm. the team that I didn't, root for, had a petition down here at Cocoonville about opening the bar. He wanted people to sign it, and he walked over to about four of us, and he looks mm-hmm. at me and he goes, "Well, he's not going to sign it." Points to me, kind of dismissively. I'm used to it.
Right.
I deal with it all the time. I said, "Well, no, I'd love to hear what we're talking about." And he said, "Well, you know, these guys are, they're still closing the bar," and then he's very passionate mm-hmm. about it. And then, and then one of the other guys says, "Well, they're, you know, the old men there, they're just going to go down to the place across the street and go to the bar there, and might as well come here." And I looked at him, and then I was everything he wanted me to be mm-hmm. because I looked at him. I said, "Well, good luck with that." that's where we are. But you know. He's a guy that I desperately want to put my arm around and go, you know what? I get it that you want things to get back to normal. I understand that that's been your priority and that you really don't feel the severity of this like a lot of other people might be. And that might not be your fault. It might be the fault of the people that kind of made you think that way. But today is a day where watching this program last night about end of life and it made me so aware of what each life is worth to most people. Sure, there are people that pass without a lot of loved ones around, but most of them, you know, most of the people that go have affect 10, 15, 20 different people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's terrible. So at the beginning of the show, we're not going to start anything with any sounds yet, Rob, because I want to come right back after this. But I wrote this down to this morning when I woke up, okay? Mm. So this is just a little message from me to you. For the families and friends of the hundreds of thousands of human beings we have lost, I will never forget. I don't have to know you to care about you and to let you know how sorry I am. May the memories of those who have died live in the hearts of those who love them forever. And may we all take a moment to remember them now with a moment of silence. And let's do that right now. Thank you. And just take some time and do that today. I just I felt that it was necessary to make mention of that. And I love hearing some of the statistics that are hopeful and yeah. we can do that. I really, really do. But it is just if you really dwell on it, it is a mind-numbing statistic. And of that, imagine 500,000 moments. 500,000 funerals, 500,000 of all that. So I feel strongly about it, and I wanted to do that. And I wanted to say that we are we're done with that, and I wanted to get it out of my off my chest. And then I made dinner for the family last night. I was proud of myself.
Before or after the depressing documentary, did you cook?
Before.
Okay, good.
Before the depressing documentary. And I did the full Mr. Mom yesterday. I did the grocery shopping.
Oh.
And I did the meal preparation. Now, you might not think that's a big deal, but for me, it is. And the trip to the big box store that you love so bad.
Yes.
I have to say this. The trip to the big box store you love so bad is a far different experience when you are given marching orders, when you are told to go shopping for stuff you need.
Like a list? Were you assigned a list?
Yes. Oh, dear. I was given a list. Oh. I can handle a list at the grocery store, under protest. Beef burgers. But I cannot handle a list at the box store.
I understand, because it's a grazing environment. It is a browsing environment. You got to look and see what's new. It's ever-changing.
Have I ever said I hate going to Costco? Have I ever told
you've
you
alluded to a lot of times how Rob goes all the time, but how
I can tell you why I hate it.
Go ahead, because I can understand
you're
why
a contrarian.
Anybody would
hate it. That's why.
No.
I don't think so. I'm kidding.
As a kid, my mom would drive us to Price Club. And I remember going to
Price Club. That was the precursor to Costco.
Yeah, this is old school. Yeah. Throwback. And I remember going there, and it was a special occasion because we were still, a family on a budget. And when you go there, you're saving, but you're buying in bulk.
Right.
So ideally, you need the square footage to buy in bulk to store and get in, right? Unless you want to go to those orders.
Uh-huh.
So we would do it once in a while. It would usually be around my father's birthday when we'd have a ton of people over for Heineken's and Corona's and Skirt Steak. That's what it was. So she would buy in bulk then. And then, so it was more of a celebration once in a while. Then we went to Sam's Club. Sam's Club became kind of all right, fine, I'll go to Sam's Club, because they had good meat there, my mom would say. So we would go there and get the good meat. But it would always be in and out. And as a kid, we would never buy any of the fun stuff. We just wouldn't. They would never buy. My mom wouldn't buy the big bag of Doritos or anything like
cereal.
That.
Cereal. Would that be fun?
And no, I mean, if they had the big Special K or Product 19 box, I'm sure she picked it up.
But I'm talking like fun cereal, like nothing. A Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh,
right?
Are you kidding me? No, only my neighbors would have that.
Right.
Did you mention that specifically because Cinnamon Toast Crunch is right there on the back wall at Costco?
That's one of their big movers.
Screaming at you.
Yeah, it's a big mover.
And
there.
You buy that, don't you? You love that.
If I eat cereal, that's probably what I eat, yeah.
Right, right.
That or Frankenberries.
It's under the sign that says, all you carb cows, come over here and munch on this cinnamon crunch cereal.
At my Costco, it says, this is keto. So I don't know. Maybe they're lying. Could be a trick.
They have a keto cereal,
Oh, they do?
They have protein. They have Protein Plus, I think it's called. I have it. I could bring it in. It's in a massive box.
Kellogg's Meat Puffs.
I'll show it to you.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead. Finish your thought. It's right in the back. It's right in back of me. I do this show right from my kitchen.
So no fun stuff.
Prior to the pandemic, it was still kind of annoying.
Right.
Because it was always, we were always going for things that we just didn't need to buy as many of, but you'd have to buy as many.
Well, because it's like, if you need 15 bananas, they make you buy 25.
Yes.
And so you get the deal, but you're overbuying because that's the portion.
And I've always felt pre-pandemic that it wasn't the most sanitary place.
Really?
You're in a warehouse.
Yeah.
Right, a grocery store at least has drywall hiding all the rats. You've got all kinds of things. Like you have some sort of cocoon inside of a cocoon.
See,
infrastructure.
I never got that feeling because Premier Protein
from Post Premier Protein
that you can eat.
5 grams total sugars per serving, 14 grams total carbs, 20 grams of protein.
Wow.
Now, yeah.
So
I know
that's low carb, high protein.
This is probably not a popular sentiment among our audience because it's just such a monster Costco.
Right.
But I always felt like it was dirty before the pandemic because you're in a warehouse. You're not in a proper grocery store.
I don't
store,
get
Michael
that feeling of dirty because I watch their meat department back there. I go there and I look and I see how they butcher stuff.
But I'm not. That's not my clean. Lens. My lens is the big warehouse.
You watch their meat department.
I watch them how they work. They're
what,
good.
You sit there and just
very
say
good.
You like everybody that. Yeah. By the way, how is that the ultimate log jam of the box store when people stare at the meat just going?
I don't stare and I don't cause a log jam, but I watch how they
dead
operate.
Cows.
I watch how they operate. It's a clean operation. Bakery's clean, but Oscar, most of the rest of the stuff is prepackaged, so you're okay. You're
agreed,
okay,
but the warehouse setting always put me off.
I kind of like it
because it was just it felt like I was like, what are we doing here? Like, we're supposed to be selling food. It should be sanitary, clean.
It's not
like,
just food.
Great aisles, like perfectly laid out.
Yeah, but they're super clean. Yeah. They're super clean.
I know, but that was my perspective.
Right.
And then you get the pandemic.
Right.
And the time I had to go and start getting in the line around 6 a.m. in order to get in there by 10 a.m. in the middle of the pandemic.
Right.
That screamed never again.
Again.
Now, I'll go back for my mom, but it's just not my thing, man. And you have to buy more.
So you hate it.
You have to buy more than you need.
Yeah,
who needs all that?
You're forced.
So I just got done with this whole big protein carb thing.
Yeah.
And then let me tell you about the carb cow dinner that I served my family last night.
Carb cow? Right?
What's carb cow? By the way, when you're on a protein diet, going into Costco is one of the worst places you can go.
Yeah, well,
outside
you're proud of
the meat section.
Yes.
You know, the avocados and the meat, that's fine, and shrimp and stuff like that. But then, like every other grocery experience, you can load up on carbohydrates and do that. And, you know,
fresh
it can be
bread,
tedious.
Fresh bread.
And they've got, yeah, I know you love it. It's your happy
place. So good. So good.
It's because you're, you know, that's what you like. I mean, you love it. I mean, it's a, I don't mind it, but in fact, I prefer it to a regular grocery store because, you know, I like going into a place where I can see gadgets and TVs as well as groceries.
TV department's still fun.
Yeah. So on the marching orders yesterday were, I looked at it so many times, I almost have it memorized. Diet Coke.
30 pack.
Carry, what?
A 30 pack of Diet Coke, back left corner. I love it because soda is another one.
This is a moment in the show, and yeah. I've you know made a pact not to you know pick on you on the show. But it's moments like this. I'm just going to say quietly and respectfully that see when you remember that in your brain, I would just remember you know the 6 seconds between me saying please don't play the music into the spots between the time I said that and the time you played it. I would just pray that somehow you could free up that space that is regards the actual show, but it's never going to happen. But you're going to remember that it's a 30 pack of Coca. I would not. I've purchased this item 100 times. I would never ever know the number. It just would not be in me, and I would not know where it was located. Maybe that's why I had such a problem when I was there yesterday trying to be Mr. Mom.
I should be your Costco concierge, Mike. I should be there with you. You could FaceTime with me.
God, they didn't have it. To make a long story
short, sorry.
They didn't have Diet Coke. Okay.
That's the weird first thing to be out of.
That's the first moment where they start to bone me as I'm in there.
No Diet Coke?
No.
That's
plenty,
a staple.
Plenty of a product that, as far as I'm concerned, you could dump off a barge in the middle of the ocean, and that's Coke Zero.
Oh, I'll
there
take
is
a Coke
a massive,
Zero.
There, what's that?
Oh, that's not that bad. You're making an exaggeration.
It's a mistake. It's a terrible misstep.
Sucks. If you like that occasionally. And by the way, I do not drink that stuff nearly as much as I did years ago. I don't. I will have one on occasion if I need a little caffeine boost.
Sure.
That's it. So they don't have that. And then I'm told to get a very specific kind of butter, a Kerrygold butter, which appeals to me because I'm a leprechaun.
Right.
So it's very, very, it's Irish butter. And guess what? I guess Costco decided that the Kerrygold butter was selling better than their giant 1984 take over the world butter, the Costco brand. So that's gone. They didn't have that.
Wow.
So you know, and but I guess they flip these brands a lot. At
sometimes,
the
yeah.
The point I'm trying to make is that it's a lot different. I like going into Costco with my mouth agape.
Yep.
And just going up and down the aisles and just deciding what I am not going to buy, because you don't buy anything that way, and you're just like, hey, this would be good. Hey, this would be good. It's kind of fun if you really want. If you're a wino, it's a great place to go because you just hang out.
Great
and,
wine.
And look at the wine. I know.
You we're like, in his wheelhouse.
Do you ever read the cards, Mike? The wine cards that they have? Oh, it's fascinating, isn't
it? Yeah, but they're not, but they conjure with that.
I know they
because
do.
Because they have some. Don't they have some kind of knockoff wine magazine that, that you know, that like...
maybe,
that,
yeah.
You know, wine
not,
viewer?
Yeah, not
or
spectator,
something.
Not
wine
the
spectator, it's wine viewer.
I think it's wine guys.
Right, wine guys, you know, or wine periodical.
What I love
wine
is...
Wine periodical gives this a 97, you know.
I like the little paragraph under where he says, notes of current.
Yes, exactly. So, but I did, I got it, but then... I decided that this is where the inner fat guy in me came out, that I was going to provide the mother-in-law who is visiting and the wife with a Costco meal par excellence. And I alluded to my wife when she went off to work, because I'm Mr. Mom after the show's over, that I'm going to buy a pot pie, one of those chicken pot pies, famous item at Costco. And then when I was in the section with the pre-made foods, I purchased a shepherd's pie as well.
Ooh.
So when they got back to my domicile, there was a carb lover special on the dining room table with the table set with my son and my mother-in-law and my wife, and it was the carb busters special with a chicken pot pie and a shepherd's pie. And I believe that in total the four of us enjoyed about 6% of the total food that was on the table, because I mean really you could feed 50 people with the amount of food that I got. And then it was, I think, put off to the side. But it is a carb laden.
The chicken pot pie is one of the only food items where you get it and you say, Jesus, this is heavy.
It's heavy.
It's a lot of food. It weighs a lot.
Right. You'd love that. You would love that. You,
I've never had a chicken pot pie in my
life.
You
know what? You, taste of a time. Do you have a functioning oven at your house at all?
No.
You have a toaster oven or something like that?
The emerald one my mom gifted us broke. So
you don't have an oven?
No, we have a microwave.
Yeah, but that won't work for this, because for one thing, it's about 18 inches in diameter, so it's not going to fit in the microwave.
Big. Go to Costco and bring your mother a chicken pot pie.
Yes,
put it in the oven at 375 for an hour and a half, and get ready for fun.
Polo pot pie.
Right.
I was always as a kid, chicken pot pie day would always burn me. Like I just never got into it. I'd get something else. It seemed,
you mean,
different.
At school?
Burn you like the roof of your mouth, like Rob Spiewak being burned by a chicken pot pie?
No.
Now what does that mean?
It would mean that by the time I got, maybe because we had a later lunch as a kid or something, by the time we got there, the pot pies would always be busted up, like by the time they would serve us in our school.
Oh yeah, but
district.
You're talking about an individual guy,
yeah,
like
the little
a Swanson.
Guy, the little guy. The
this
little
is
guy.
A whole another level.
Yeah, get ready. Get ready. Say
sounds
hello to my little friend.
Yeah, and we're talking top and bottom crust.
This is giant. Say hello to my little friend. We got the homepage coming up. We're going to talk to Joel Rogers about airplanes falling apart.
Yes.
Nice. All that and more coming up on the Mike O'Bara Show, everybody. We will be right back with the new one right here. Yeah. Let's open up the audio vault for today. Take it away, Rob.
Who is the captain now?
Oh, dear.
Digital.
Oh, no.
Doctor. Digital.
Fun is the best thing to have.
Dumpster.
The Digital Dumpster.
Audio oddities and digital diversions. Don't miss the Digital Dumpster every day on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This portion of the program is brought to you by our good friends at Cornerstone. All right, here we go. We all knew this day would come. Mortgage rates have moved off of their lows.
Oh, no!
This rate increase has eliminated the opportunity to refinance for nearly 1.9 million homeowners.
Mm.
So if you haven't taken advantage of these ultra-low rates or tapped into your home's sudden rise in equity, time is running out for you to call my friend, Mark Livingstone, and his wonderful team at Cornerstone First Financial. Cornerstone is the only company I recommend. It's the ones that Oscar recommends them. Rob does, too.
Mm-hmm.
They are a direct lender, which means they can guarantee to meet or beat any other mortgage offer, whether a purchase or refi. Send the folks at Cornerstone your most recent mortgage statement for a free, fast, comprehensive proposal and see how much money they can save you. 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Now, they have 20 years in the business. They have a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. I always say Better Business Bureau. And they have hundreds of great reviews. Why would you call anyone else? Don't wait until it's too late to be part of history and these incredibly low rates. Call Cornerstone First Financial, 625-1221, area code 202, or cornerstonefirst.com. Personal attention from application to closing. We love them. You're going to love all the good people at Cornerstone First Financial. Do it today, ladies and gentlemen, and we thank you.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
Homepage time. We just got done talking about it. After a year that has darkened doorways across the U.S., the pandemic surpassed a milestone Monday that once seemed unimaginable, a stark confirmation of the virus's reach into all corners of the country and communities of every size and makeup. The toll accounting for one in five deaths reported worldwide.
Mm.
That's the U.S. of A.
Wow.
Far exceeded earlier projections, which assumed that federal and state governments would marshal a comprehensive and sustained response and individual Americans would heed warnings. Didn't happen. Instead, a push to reopen the economy last spring and the refusal by many to maintain social distancing and wear face masks fueled the spread of the pandemic in the United States. The figures alone do not come close to capturing the heartbreak. And if we get anything out of today's show, even with the yucks, I really hope that you get a little of that, because I think it's important to think about today. Congress is set to hear from former U.S. Capitol security officials today for the first time about that massive law enforcement failure on January 6th, the day the violent mob laid siege to the Capitol building and interrupted the electoral count. Three of the four scheduled to testify on Tuesday before two Senate committees resigned under pressure immediately after the deadly attack, including the former head of the Capitol Police. I ask you, do you think that'll amount to a pile of warm spit?
No.
I mean, really. I mean, it's what's done is done. That's the way I kind of look at it. But I don't think it'll ever be allowed to happen again. I don't know. Do you look at that positively?
Oh, it's surreal that it happened in the first place. When you look back on that and think that, what is that, a month and a half ago? Not even that? That's insanity. That happened a few miles from here.
Yeah.
It was allowed to happen. It must never happen again.
A cartoon-sized fence built around the Capitol. Moving forward.
That's a lot of horns being worn by people.
Mm-hmm. A new survey asked people if, you mean the guy?
Yeah, that guy.
That guy.
With the fur.
The organic food guy.
Aren't we dumb as a
country?
We're
the dumbest.
Isn't our media dumb and we're dumb and everybody's dumb? And it's like, who are we going to show more than anybody else? The guy that wears the stupidest hat.
Yeah. That's the guy that we got.
Yeah, always has been. It's the guy that paints himself blue at the baseball game.
Yeah.
That's who we love.
You're the man!
Yeah. Most noticeable. Look at that car. It's got all that stuff on it.
I'm going to go to a golf match and wear a rainbow wig.
Yeah, that guy started.
Yeah,
he's probably one of the originators.
Right? Yeah.
John 3:16. I still remember the guy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. There it is again. I love that sound.
It's good sound.
I do. I'm sorry. For those haters out there, I love it. Okay. Here we go. Let me play it again. Let me pull it. It's like pulling a big bass chord. A new survey asked people if they could choose one age to be the rest of their lives, what would they choose? The most common answer, 36.
That seems high.
36.
Wow.
The survey also found more than half of people say they look around 5 years younger than they are and feel 6 years younger. In spite of all that, 59% say they used to be obsessed with slowing down how they were aging, but now they're doing a better job accepting and embracing it. I'm going to give you a true answer. I don't think I've reached the age that I would want to be for the rest of my life.
Really?
I think I'm going to get to a point where I like aging. I like being an older father. I do.
Man.
I'm not happy by any stretch, and I have issues. I have more issues than anybody in our listening audience or even you boys will ever know. Issues that I work on, you know, that I feel I need to work on all the time.
Hygiene?
But I don't. did you listen to the opening where I was? We had a little pre-meeting. Did you? Carla, I won't talk about it today.
No.
Carla says, I can't take care of myself. My hair, my home projects, my eyebrows. Thank you. But yeah, so I don't know. What age? Anybody?
The one that jumped for me is 25.
25?
Okay. What year did you get married, Rob?
1996, when I was...
But how old were you?
25. You know what? I would take 25 and marry...
Would you want to be 25 before you got married, or...
You see, here's the thing. Married. After I got married, and I'd also want my kids. I don't want to be without my kids. I just still want to be 25.
Okay, you want to be 25. What about you,
Oh, I would... 36. 35, 36, easy.
Well, you're right in the.
I agree. I agree with that study.
You're 42 now, so it's not. You're almost living your best life.
It's before I got married, before true responsibility hit me.
Okay.
It was just fun.
No, you see, but that's where I don't see the survey that way. I'd say that it doesn't change your lifestyle. I'd say that you would still be, you know, the way you are. You'd just be at that age.
Do you remember when you were single? And this is no knock on my marriage. I'm happy.
Yeah.
Says the man, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Remember when it was, I want every guy out there and girl and gal listening now. Remember when you were single and happy and you had zero F's to think about anybody else and you just did what you wanted to do?
No, I was always a guy that thought of others.
Well, when you, well, right.
You weren't catting around when you were single.
No.
Like he was.
No, he was. He was, absolutely.
Yeah, he was. More than both of us.
Yeah.
I was catting around a little bit. What are you saying? Oh, you're saying that I didn't. You catted around more than I did.
No,
you
always did. I had more time. You were married half the time.
Yeah, well, I was married, but when I wasn't married, I was, you know, around.
That's so pessimistic. Like, that's like saying, you know, the glass is
just
half
a fact,
empty.
Okay? I go into a Euro club in D.C. in the 1990s. Yeah. Boom, 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 boom. If I didn't have the gift of gab, there's nothing happening for me at all. If I could get somebody to chat with me, I could do okay.
Yeah.
I could do all right. And in Rob's case, what would you do when you were single in your 20s?
I spend most of my time telling lovely young women the 3-digit number on the back of my credit card. Because they were a pay service.
Oh,
it was a hooker joke.
Thank you. I understand. I understand, Bruce. That's the way that goes. Okay. There have been several recent major studies in the past decade that found, you're going to love this story, Rob.
Yes.
Cheese.
I love it.
Manny Masiello got an unfair reputation because of the misguided anti-fat guidelines of the 80s and 90s. Those studies found that what really makes you gain weight are things like refined grains, potatoes, and processed meats.
Cheese didn't
cause people to gain weight.
Hooray!
And sometimes it even helped people lose fat.
That's sure. That news is good.
The dean of the Tufts School of Nutrition Science in Massachusetts,
hey, Tufts.
Great school, says, quote, "There's almost no evidence cheese causes weight gain. In fact, there's evidence that it's neutral at worst. There's, you know, there's no evidence that cheese is linked to cardiovascular disease. And hold on, sir.
Oh, dear.
And in some cases, it's even a little bit associated with lower risk. And then for diabetes, again, it's at worst neutral and maybe protective.
That's
so
awesome.
That.
Bring on the curd.
Cheese, everybody. There have been several recent major studies in the past decade that said that, just wrapping this up, that cheese is bad, or maybe printing a story twice and reading it twice. That's very good.
That's
Let's hit
neutral,
that sound
Mike.
Effect
That's
again.
Neutral.
South Padre Island, Texas. I was talking to my neighbor this morning when we were dropping the kids off. He said some folks who lack basic heat or amenities, like running water in their homes due to that chilly weather that they had that caused havoc in Texas, they have been rescuing cold stunned sea turtles and taking them to a convention center in South Padre Island. That's a big resort town.
Yeah.
For,
I've been there, Mike.
The
I've spent a spring break there.
You've been to South Padre Island?
Yes.
That's kind of cool, right? Right on the Gulf? Kind of a happening town?
Yeah, it's so I've been blessed, Mike, to go to Cancun, Acapulco, just these beautiful
great places
around,
to go catting around Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, you go to all of them, you slut.
Okay, pre-pandemic and pre, I would say, this god-awful freeze that hit Texas, South Padre Island was the trashiest place I've ever been.
Oh, really?
See, that really goes along well with this very sweet human interest story that I'm sharing with everybody. Well, they rescued 3,500 sea turtles, Oscar. So don't pick on them too much, all right?
That was 10 years ago. Who knows?
That's right.
Ed Kaum. It's a Kaum night out, C-A-U-M, executive director of the South Padre Island Convention Center and Visitors Bureau, whose motto is "Keep it trashy." Told the Associated Press on Wednesday, every 15 minutes or less, there's another truck or SUV that pulls up with a sea turtle. He said that with another cold front approaching, they don't know when they'll be able to return the sea turtles to the water. So I think that's a sweet little story.
Yes.
I was trying to do that before, you know, you just called it a trashy place.
A railroad.
The hard
Sorry.
Thing for the sea turtles at the convention center is they can't afford the $10 chicken tenders.
Okay, very good. Yes, now you're making a concession. All right, and now a little something something. 20-year-old Ethan Birch and 19-year-old Chad Kerchinski had a run-in with police on Saturday in Western Pennsylvania, where my wife's from, Western PA.
Yes, a beautiful place.
It's not clear what they were angry about, but they drove to their local police station later that night to lodge a formal complaint. And when they got there, cops realized they were drunk. And both of them are underage. And Ethan's car was in the parking lot, so they arrested Ethan for drunk driving. And at some point, Chad lost his cool.
Oh, Chad.
Chad and Ethan.
Chad.
Ethan.
I'm sick of these guys named Ethan. Chad lost his cool, so he's facing charges for underage drinking and disorderly conduct. Hey, we have good news. There always a silver lining, though.
Yes, please.
No college scholarship. What? I blew it.
Oh, no. Start
God
again.
Damn it. We have good news, though. There's a silver line. Sometimes I like the kicker line so much. The good news is that no college scholarships were damaged in this incident. Thank you. Thank you very much. Very good. Ethan and Chad. We'll take a break. Talk to Joel Rogers. Sorry we're late, Joel. We try. Here I am thinking the new format. We wouldn't be rushing, but we just got too much on
Lots
this show.
Lots of stuff.
So much.
We'll be right back, everybody. Thank you very much.
The UBS Evening News with Howard Beale.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a pandemic. You're upset and you're angry and you stare at your podcast player and you say, please don't take my Friday cocktail party or my shopping center or my bonus show or my steel Belgian radials. Luckily, you've got the Michael Merry Show and it's not going anywhere. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. You've got to say, I'm a human being, goddammit. My life has value. And that's okay, because you can always go to your computer, open a window, and type MichaelMeraShow.com. Do it. You'll be glad as hell, and you won't have to take it anymore. MichaelMeraShow.com, making you as glad as hell. I must make my witness.
Thank you, Howard Beale. Hey, we all have memories from childhood that shaped who we are today. With a KiwiCo subscription, you and your child get everything you need to create unforgettable moments right now.
Right now?
Mike, I ordered a KiwiCo for Sebastian.
Oh, you did.
Awesome.
Just yesterday.
Really?
And I don't care what you say. If you don't have kids, you don't know the joy that another parent has when you gift them this. Because I literally show the videos for little Sebastian to his mother, and I said, which one is best for you? Because I don't have a little child, but I want to gift this to you.
Right.
And she started seeing all the activities you can do with your kid. I don't know what we've been waiting for little Sebastian. I got it for my niece and nephew in California. They love it. But little Sebastian is now ready to go. He is good to go, and
That's
he will get
great.
His first package in no less than, I think, 5 to 6 days.
Let me tell everybody what this is. These are hands-on science, art, and geography projects delivered to the door every single month. So T.O. Oscar is going to be very famous. KiwiCo, they take exploration to new heights, and everything they need is inside each colorful crate. So your child can get started right away. This is for Sebastian already that we're talking about?
Yeah, because they have a 2 to 4 package.
Yeah, they do have all
ages. Great.
Yeah.
Well, look, everybody knows, especially during the pandemic, hard to find new creative ways to keep the kids busy while stretching their brain. There's no commitment, so you can pause or cancel any time. And I love that my son and I get to do it together. It's so much fun. Mm-hmm. Michael actually mentioned to me the other day that he's got a new create on the way, and he's very excited about it. And I am ready for the next adventure as well with KiwiCo. KiwiCo, redefining learning with hands-on projects that build confidence, creativity, critical thinking skills. There's something for every kid or kid at heart at KiwiCo. Get 30% off your first month plus free shipping on any crate line with code TMOS at KiwiCo.com. That's 30% off your first month at KiwiCo.com. Promo code TMOS, and we thank you. Welcome back to the show, Whoa Whoa. The other day, everybody saw the video. Over the weekend, it started, and it was pretty amazing to see that this engine on a plane was bursting into flames, and the pilots successfully landed this plane after this emergency. And it was just amazing. We thought we'd call our good friend and one of our best TMOS listeners in the whole wide world. We get to see him. Hi, Joel Rogers, big plane
Hello,
pilot.
Everyone.
You are a jet pilot, just like they say in the kids' books. I am a jet pilot. I have heard a couple of times on news services other pilots interview. That's the first people that are interviewed when something like this goes down. You don't fly on Boeing equipment, but you do fly on heavy equipment. And one of the things I love about your posts on social media is when you show the simulators and the training that you have to receive. First question for you. When you see something like this, What is your first reaction from your perspective, from a guy that is in the seat of a heavy aircraft like that? What do you think when you see it?
The first response is, I'm glad it wasn't me. But the real response is, what happened and what can they do to prevent it? And I have to preface this with, I am flying an Airbus, but my previous job on the A330, some of our fleet had the Pratt Whitney 4000s, the same basic engine as this 777. Now, it's a different model. It's a different fan. It's the different front of the engine, which is what failed. But I've got a little Pratt 4000 time in my logbook.
And I will tell you, just as everything is related to everything, that Pratt & Whitney was probably three-quarters of my town was employed, where I grew up in Glastonbury, Connecticut, by Pratt & Whitney Aircraft, which was based in East Hartford, Connecticut. And if you caught the factory shift leaving Pratt & Whitney, you were screwed. That was the only time we had real rush hour was when Pratt & Whitney Aircraft would let out. But they have been making jet engines forever. And one of the reasons they have been doing it forever is because of the reliability. One of the things I heard about this engine, Joel, that concerned people was the fire prevention mechanics that were on this engine. You know, that engine was on fire all the way into landing. They weren't able to suppress it. It's fire suppression I'm talking about. What do you think? Is there a reason for that? That I mean, obviously, you pay attention to that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, but I know basically what everybody else in the public knows, which isn't much. The NTSB is going to take a year tearing into this thing. One fan failed. The second fan, or the fan, one fan, whole fan blade separated, and then a half of a second fan blade separated. And I think the engine just shook itself. It was so out of balance that something obviously broke in the back of the engine and probably spilled fuel and fire.
I like a question.
The 777 has two fire bottles for the engine. I assume that they did both of them, but obviously didn't shut off the fire real quickly. It did eventually, but it's a little disconcerting to see the flames.
Mm-hmm. How much of technology of a jet engine has changed, say, like when Mike was a boy and they were building them at Pratt & Whitney in the 1970s? I mean,
when the engines were made of wood?
That's right. When they were hand carved and they were actually made of spruce. But I'm wondering, the technology of a jet is pretty staid, I imagine. But have the engine construction advanced, or is it a different deal now?
I think the materials and the tolerances are better. And it's obviously controlled by computers. So on the 777 and when I fly the A350, it's a FADEC, full authority digital something control. I forget what the A stands for. But all I do is just click it into this position, and the computer figures out how to make that much power, what it needs to do with the rotors, the stators, and how much gas. So it's very automated, which is nice.
Joe, we have a text that came in from an O Santana who wanted to ask if that
it
is
flies
if
itself.
Those if
sure
if, no, 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 those, no, 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 if no, those are no, the no. Wright brothers behind you with your
okay. Full disclaimer: I am celebrating my parents' vaccine by spending 2 weeks in Indiana, so I'm a long way from home.
That's so sweet.
Okay,
right.
Yes. Are those your? Well, you're too young to have those.
That is
your
a great, great, great something or other. I don't even really know. That's some old Civil War or something signed by Lincoln. So
that's fair.
I'm in the family heirloom department
Oscar just sent me that text. That's terrible.
Joel, I know it pisses you off when I say they fly themselves. They don't fly themselves. I just like to grind your gears.
I'll admit it.
Can they fly themselves with one engine? Is there a autopilot for one engine?
Well, that's a good idea.
Yes and no. The A350 is certified to do a single engine auto land. Most airplanes aren't, but like I said, I'm flying the brand new airplane and it can. I've done it in the simulator. I haven't done it in real life because I've never shut down an engine, but it can land itself on one engine. Now, is there one button to push? No, it's a tremendous amount of programming.
I'm not saying they're Teslas. I just like joking about it because I know it grinds your gears. What I would say,
maybe not the best phrase to use in this particular.
Yeah, well, there was some grinding going on in that engine. Let me tell you,
I'm curious for you when you hear the pilot's response, and it's calm and cool and collected as I imagine training will get you to.
Do you want to hear? I can play just briefly the Mayday call so we can reset here.
Thank you. We can give that a check.
Here we go. Here's the Boeing guy. And it would help if I had it turned up. Here we go.
Mayday, United 328 Heavy, Mayday aircraft. Yeah, United Denver departure, United 328 Heavy, Mayday aircraft. Just experienced a engine failure, need a turn immediately.
There's a big.
So, I mean, that's pretty calm.
So I live in Denver, and I'm actually based in Detroit, but flying out of Denver, they're taking off going to the west. It's right towards the mountains. So his response of we need to turn immediately is the first thing that you should do. I don't want to fly single engine.
I think we've
mountains.
Got one of those engines right outside my window here right now.
down you want to check your yard?
Yes. Usually they're a little earlier, but I guess today Mike,
the blades are working today. The blades are working today.
It should look good. So how much for that particular scenario? Is that your when you talk? You guys go through everything in the simulator, but you guys get a tremendous amount of training on that. Is really the main reason I wanted to have you on the show, right? If somebody has an engine that goes out,
I spent 7 days in the simulator in 2020. 4 of those days were regularly scheduled just for my normal currency, and because I wasn't flying thanks to COVID, I was there 3 additional days just to keep my skills and just to keep current. So yeah, there's a lot of practice. Now, they just simulate engine failures or engine fires. Obviously, we don't see pictures of damage or anything in the simulator. But yeah, most of what we do is abnormals in the sims.
Wow. It's amazing. And I hope they get to the bottom of this and they've grounded the whole fleet of 777s. And works good for your airline because you fly mostly Airbuses, don't you? I mean, that's your airline mostly hung their hat on Airbus, right?
After the merger, we took our last Boeing orders and we don't have a single Boeing on order at the moment. So we are moving our way towards Airbus.
Always buy American. How dare you?
You know what? You laugh, but we're getting the A320s that are coming from Alabama. So they're building them in the U.S. Final assembly, at least.
That's it. And Joel, is there anything else anybody you want to say hi to or anything like that while we have you? Since I've been away from home
for a couple of weeks, I should probably say hi to my wife if she's still if we're still married by now.
Sweet.
Who knows?
That's right. Have you gotten back to any kind of normalcy at all? Are you starting to see some light at the end of the tunnel?
I've got my vacation beard because I haven't flown in a couple weeks. But yeah, I went to Amsterdam twice this month. So there's some normalcy, but we had like 60 people on a plane that seats 300. So it's still a little grim.
And didn't you hit a theme park recently? Because you have your coaster gallery on the website. What's your website, Joel?
There was Cedar Point up in Ohio. I took my brother's family a 5-hour drive and got to climb all over the coasters because they're closed. Wow. So yeah, I got to touch coasters and be in all the restricted areas. So
yeah, and that's coastergallery.com.
Thanks to Minnie and Rob's excited about being able to maybe go at the end of the summer this year. And there's a new coaster called the Engine Failure that's going to be coming out. So it should be really, really special.
We're looking forward to it.
Best to you and
thanks
your family.
For having me. Good talking
Thank
with you guys.
You so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Anytime.
We'll take a break and we'll come back with more fun and more thrills. You, ladies and gentlemen, are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. We'll be right back.
What the hell's going on here?
I'm Casey Kasem.
Fucking ponderous, man.
He's down on the phone.
Dear Casey.
Oh,
two.
I want somebody to use his fucking brain.
He was a little dog named Snuggles.
Good golly, Miss Molly.
What happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week?
We're up to our long-distance dedication.
I gotta talk about a fucking dog dying.
What is this fucking ponderous, man?
God damn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Fucking ponderous.
You can make your long-distance mailbag dedication by sending an email to rob@mikeomarashow.com.
Dear Casey.
That's Rob with 2 B's.
Two.
And until the next promo, America.
Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
Thank you, Casey. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This portion of our program brought to you by Stamps.com. Going to the post office is probably not how you want to be spending your time right now.
No.
That's why I recommend mailing and shipping online at Stamps.com. Stamps.com allows you to mail and ship anytime, anywhere, right from your computer. You can send letters, you can ship packages, and you can pay a lot less with discounted rates from USPS and UPS and more. With Stamps.com, postoffice.com. You get discounts up to 40% off post office rates and up to 62% off UPS shipping rates. Wow. It's no wonder nearly 1 million small businesses already use stamps.com, just like us. Stop wasting time going to the post office and go to stamps.com instead. There's no risk, and with the promo code TMOS, you get a special offer. It includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale, and no long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in TMOS. That's stamps.com, promo code TMOS. Stamps.com, never go to the post office again. Oh my God, where do we begin? I want to hear about Oscar taking and giving to you, Rob.
Yes.
Apparently you two had a bit of a weekend. I know that there's always this auction that you guys do, and something happened this time, or what?
Well, it's the patron show for the Art League in Alexandria, and I want to first of all thank Suzanne Bethel, who has hosted us
10
for
out of 10.
Many years, and she is a 10 out of 10. She is great, and she puts together this Art League auction, and here's how it works normally. There's about 600 people that crowd into a facility in Old Town Alexandria here in D.C. It's called the Torpedo Factory. It used to be where they made torpedoes. Mm-hmm. They actually have torpedoes and big military-grade scales and stuff in there, but it's...
Thank you.
It's an art space.
You're welcome.
And they get people, and people pack coolers, and they bring libations, and they come in, and they buy a ticket, and they get their name drawn, and they get to choose.
Guys have done this for like 10 years.
This was my sixth year, and Oscar predates me by a few.
Couple years.
And so, and this is their, I think they're 53rd, so they've been doing it a long time.
This is about the time you two should be honored for this.
I believe you're right.
No, no, no. The last guy got honored at 25. So we got some ways to go.
Oh, we do?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Remember he retired.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
And we slipped in.
That's right. Okay. We made it our own. Made it our own. But obviously, you can't crowd 600 people into a factory during the days of COVID, so they went virtual. And what they did, actually, it worked really well this year. People emailed in their choices, and a computer algorithm did the selections for them. So it eliminated a lot of the confusion of having to do it live. Oscar and I were going to go in. It was going to be an easy Saturday. Because normally,
but you were based at the Torpedo
Factory. Yeah, we went in there, and there was eight people in the gallery, and we were all masked.
There were eight people.
There were eight people in the gallery, and we were all spaced out, and we was all wearing masks. So...
Magna cum laude, my ass.
Mike, it's VCU. I've told you it doesn't count. And
there was eight people. How do you get magna cum laude by saying there was eight people?
Because the check
sliding
cleared.
Sliding scale.
Check cleared. So we go there, and I'm on my way, and I get a text, I believe, on Saturday morning. Normally,
there were a lovely woman who I spoke to.
Normally, this is a Sunday
she
night
were
event.
Great.
This is normally a Sunday night event.
Yeah, because Monday is usually a day off.
Because Monday is President's Day, and people get hammered, and that's part of the fun of it. Well, this was a Saturday afternoon, and I'm on my way, and I get a text from Oscar, and he says, you're going to have to cover for me. Yeah. Got going on with my parents and stuff. I'm just not going to be able to make it. So
they boned me.
I'd be wide
open. It's an hour on Zoom. We do this every day.
And it turned out I said, what can you say?
Dick Oscar.
What can you say? I said, I got you covered. I'm bringing my daughter with me, so I'll have some company. Do your family.
A ceiling fan. You got to go on.
No, this was my mom and dad were meeting me at the office at 11 a.m. They're supposed to meet me at 11 a.m.
Right.
That was done by noon. Get to Rob by 1, if not sooner.
It was a 2 o'clock. It was a 2 o'clock broadcast. So they want us there at 1.
You're very good, both of you, to do this. I'm sorry, Rob. Yeah. You're very good to do this.
Thank you.
I'm not.
Well, you've done it in the past.
It's fine.
He has more wins than losses.
We've covered for each other. So
actually,
what I said,
you did, because I had the flu 1 year.
Yes,
and I couldn't do it. Yeah, that's right.
And I did all 6 hours.
That's right. And you've done it for him, and he's okay. I get it. All right.
But still, it was the only
last minute.
It was last minute. And the thing that was awkward is when I got there and I had to tell Suzanne, who's the coordinator of the whole event, and she's really operating at about 110 miles an hour. Because
last thing she wants is a curveball.
They've never done this virtually before, and apparently the dress rehearsal the day before was a disaster. as far as online.
You
and
were great, though. I tuned in.
So he's done nothing but ruin it more.
Yeah, and so I say...
I've added stress.
I come in, I say, hi, Suzanne. She says, oh, great to see you. Thanks for coming. You remember my daughter? Yes, Julia. And she says, and Oscar? I said,
where's the Latino?
I said, yeah, about Oscar.
Yeah.
It's gonna... he's got some family stuff going on. And I left it vague and open-ended where it could have been, you know... A brother,
you know,
is visiting.
Fault that was
Obama.
There you go.
It could have been vague and open ended. So she said, "Well, okay, I guess. I guess you can handle it." And we walked through, and she handed me the script, which was very different than the script that I had been emailed the day before. And we went through the whole thing. And when it got down to it, it probably worked out better because when you're playing to a live crowd that isn't a live crowd, there's no crowd reaction.
No, nothing.
The interplay between Oscar and I would probably have been awkward at best.
And so you're just basically narrating the items, right?
And not even all of them. You do welcoming remarks. You explain stuff. I made a couple jokes. I made a good Ted Cruz
joke.
Give
me one of your jokes.
I said, actually, we're doing this virtually this year. I almost didn't make it. I just got back from Cancun with Ted Cruz. We were comparing the sizes of our tans.
My friend said he killed.
Oh, that's very nice.
Literally, I got a real-time text from someone watching.
Here's the deal. That's what it felt like, because there's eight people in the gallery, and they're not paying attention to me
almost
at all.
Almost said,
anyway.
I just got back from Cancun with Ted Cruz. You're comparing our tans.
The size of our tans.
I want the size of our tans. Was that a fat joke?
It was a fat joke.
Yeah, he was self-deprecating.
All right, because Ted's fat, too.
He's fat, yeah.
Okay.
And so we go through the whole thing, and actually it works out, and we're working up, and we do. They have a pro sound guy, and they mic me up with a lav, and it's a pretty slick operation.
You look great, Rob. I'm not kidding. This is not something I'm he had a coat, sports coat on. He'd look good, Mike.
I tried
for
this. Yeah, I
I'll send you a picture of a picture of someone watching him in real time, a friend of mine being like, Rob is killing.
Oh, well, that's very
nice. You're
going
to love this.
So we did that, and then we're getting close to the start of the auction at 2, and Suzanne is starting to calm down and because things are falling into place. And she says, why don't you text Oscar to see if he would like to put in some numbers for the auction? Because that's what they do. They let us play the auction.
I was not expecting that.
You know, in exchange for hosting. And so I had put my numbers in. And Oscar sends back a text. He says, oh, that's very nice. Just have Julia pick out something she likes. So Julia, at the last minute, got to put a second entry in. Now, when you're looking at 600 pieces of art and 600 people, the odds of getting your first choice are very, very slim. Because, you know, there's certain items that are more desirable than others, I would say. But thanks to Oscar and that second ticket, Julia got her two first choices of art, and she was walking on air, Mike, just like Michael Caine says.
And, oh, that's awesome.
And it was the best part for me is, since we've been doing this for so long, when we first went, Julia was a sullen 14, 15-year-old who would go and be my, you know, my buddy, but didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
Now, after almost 2 years of art education under her belt at VCU, she was talking to the patrons. She was talking to the artists around the Torpedo Factory. She was so engaged and learning about all that stuff. So it was really great to see her. But I will say...
Oh, you looked lovely with the jacket and the sweater.
Didn't he look good?
Looked amazing.
Yeah, he looks great.
That's really terrific. I sent a picture to everybody, too.
Oh, nice of
to
you.
To see. That's Rob getting ready
the
for the thing. There it is.
Oh, there it is. You saw me backstage.
That's great. Have you lost weight?
I don't know. I don't think so. But the sweater is a good trick.
Can I show this to everybody?
I'm going to steal that trick for the show.
But I
feel like when you layer up that much, you'd look fat.
But my one great thing is that even though the pandemic is happening, the Torpedo Factory as an art space remains open. And I got to see a miserable father with a pain in the ass kid, because there were long stretches of time when there wasn't anything for me to do. So I would go out in the sort of the main area, the lobby area of the Torpedo. And as I said, they have an actual World War II torpedo there. And there's a father who just looks defeated. His shoulders are rounded down. He has a mask. It's sort of slipping down. He's fighting it. He obviously is just looking for something to do with his kid. And I hear him, because it's an empty factory, essentially. This place should be full, but it's empty. So I hear from the far end, I said, hey, 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 hey! Hey. And the kid is running and going, what? Hey. What? And the kid runs and jumps on the torpedo. And the father, and he's on the torpedo. And the father says, hey, don't climb on that. And the kid turns around with a perfect 1980s evil kid smile and says, Daddy, I'm just hugging it.
I could use a bad word if this was on the show.
He says, don't hug the torpedo.
Where's the part where Oscar gave?
Gave the ticket. He gave his auction ticket.
Mike, you're looking for the fat guy.
That auction ticket to Julia.
Oh, I wasn't listening. I'm sorry.
So
I was looking for a fat guy. Oscar's right.
What you should do, Mike,
drift away.
Save it to your camera.
Who did he give his ticket to?
Julia.
To Julia, and she got two pieces of art that she loved. Yeah.
Yes.
So you know what? It all worked out.
You oversold that one. All right. Anyway, that's
you are a terrible friend.
That is a
priceless piece of art that now Julia has as a 19-year-old.
Yeah, and as an art student, she has.
Oh, so you bid on it or something like that?
You pick your favorite items of art, and then you get your name called, and as your name is called, you get to choose.
So he won it in a raffle and gave it to Julia?
He essentially gave his raffle chance to Julia.
My chance to win art.
And does every raffle ticket get a prize?
Yes, everyone does.
You get to pick your art.
But the problem is the later you get called in the day, there are less pieces of art
but
to choose from.
But he got called early.
Yes, because he's the golden boy.
And she got it. And
yes, she got a hand-stitched rug.
Do you have a picture of it?
I do. Hold on, I'll pull it up right now.
And she also got the coolest dog sculpture, a little guy. Because do you remember last year she got, and I brought it in on the show, Maddie remembered, Sinister Bird. It was an evil-looking bird with a spiked collar. And and so this is a dog that gets to play with Sinister Bird. This is a hand-stitched rug. It's called...
Ignorance
or something.
It looks like Picasso. That looks like a Picasso.
And it's a guy in Starbucks surfing his phone, and behind him there's a giraffe and a flying pig and a unicorn, and he's ignoring it all because he's so lost in his phone. And that's Julia that spoke to her, and that's what
she said. So I picture Julia like when she gets her own house someday or apartment, that she's going to have like an art-curated home with stuff all over the walls.
Yeah,
you know?
If you want to see it, if you want to see it in a much smaller version, just look in my garage.
Yeah, I'd love
because all that crap is there.
I would love to have like the walls just filled with stuff. Carla has
nothing to do
with everything's home goods. It was like manufactured an hour ago.
That's she could go to the auction. Yeah. They have pictures of seashells.
Yeah, there you go. Very nice. She'll hear that. You're in trouble now. We got to take a break. Come back with your digital dumpster.
The DD.
And boy, she is not going to like you after that, pal. Oh, that's
fine.
For sure. We'll take a break, and we will come back. Well, I'm glad everything worked out.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Thank you.
We'll be right back on the Michael Barra Show, everybody.
Tonight, after an all-new Growing Pains, Pony makes a big decision.
Someday, I'd like to be a dentist.
On a very special episode of Pony's Place.
That's all.
Then, on the regulars, Oscar meets a new bartender.
I'll take water.
Don't have.
Do you have any skinny drinks?
What?
With an attitude.
Hey, look, mister. We save hard drinks in here for men who want to get drunk fast, and we don't need any characters around to give the joint atmosphere. Is that clear?
Sex on the beach.
Watch it along with the Mike O'Mara Show on your favorite platforms, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. You know, I apologize for that. I should have paid more attention. I mean, really, when I go looking for something in the, and you guys are telling a story and I'm trying to enhance it with my own visual stuff, I'm not good at it. I'm not nearly as good at it as you or Oscar are. So when I go to look for a fat guy picture, my brain basically does this. That's what happens to
Mike,
my brain.
As I save it to your camera roll. That way you can find it faster next time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show brought to you by Thompson Cigar. Premium cigars. Oh, I love them. I get mine from Thompson Cigar Company. With over a century in the business, these guys really know their stuff. With the best prices on everything, from Macanudo to Monte Cristo, my flavor. Looking to try new, rare, top-rated blends? Check out Thompson Cigars tour and sample five different blends each and every month. Thompson Cigar Company continues to be the number one choice for premium cigars in the USA because what do? They deliver the very best customer experience. It is so great to shop for something I love with online convenience and know that I am dealing with the best in the biz. Plus, all the accessories you need. Lighters, tobacconalia, you want those cutters, they've got them.
Cutters.
They're fantastic, anything you ever need. So sit back and take a break from all the craziness with a cigar from Cigars leader, Thompson Cigar Company. Mm-hmm. These guys rarely do offers, but right now Thompson is offering our listeners 15% off orders over $75 or 20% off orders over $99. Just go to thompsoncigar.com and use promo code TMOS when you are ready to check out. That website is Thompson, T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N, cigar.com. And remember to use the promo code TMOS. Let's open it up right now, ladies and gentlemen. The Digital Dumpster.
Double D.
Here's Rob Spiewak. Yeah.
Now, did you hear the audio from the new probe on Mars? They actually got audio for the first time from Mars. Yeah,
wow.
This is cool. And the fidelity is great. So what has happened is this is called Perseverance, I believe is the name.
Perseverance, right.
Is the name. And they're calling it Percy. And they actually got audio from Mars. Check this out.
102 bit for 100 days old.
That's Wall Street. I'm sorry. What I want to play you here is actual audio from Mars.
So jarring.
We have seen the planet in the sky for all of mankind, and people wonder, what does it sound like up there? And they were actually able to get sounds.
I'm sorry, I added that to yours.
I love it. That's, oh my God, I like that. There's
wait a minute, it sounds like a factory.
That was a casino.
Is that just
that
what?
A,
oh, that's a casino.
Casino.
So you're faking it too? Do you have any legitimate audio from
Mars?
Yes,
I do, Mike. This is Mars.
All right.
It's a very silly planet. No, actually, no. I swear, this is the Mars audio from NASA. And what I couldn't believe is we spent all those millions of dollars. We spent all that money to find out that Mars just sounds like Pony's microphone.
Can you play it one more time? The real.
Pony, can you talk
that
over
sounds,
this?
It sounds like wind.
Yeah.
It sounds like wind.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Okay.
But no people. Right. This was not really Mars, Mike.
My favorite.
See how I pyramided there, Oscar?
You win.
Yes.
I'm terrible at sounds and pictures. I should just talk on this show. I should just sit here with my hands like this and just talk. You know?
All right, if I say to you the name Nicholas Braun, does that mean anything? Braun, I should say, B-R-A-U-N. Does that mean anything
to you?
Well,
when you say the name right, I'll know it. Why don't you start that all over again, please?
If I say to you the name Nicholas Braun. Braun. I get Eva because it's.
Is it Braun like Braun?
B-R-A-U-N? Like B-R-A-U-N. I don't know why I'm having
like
a hard time.
Braun with the shavers?
Yeah, Braun. Braun. Nicholas Braun.
Braun. I don't know the name.
He
no.
plays Cousin Greg on Secession.
Ooh.
Cousin Greg.
Yeah, I know he is. The awkward cousin.
The awkward cousin who in the first episode threw up in the mascot outfit.
He's the geek.
Yeah,
he's
yeah,
kind
exactly.
of the nerd guy that is the weak sister of the family.
Well, he was trending yesterday because he put on a video on the TikTok saying that Kim Kardashian should date him, and maybe he's joking, and maybe he's not, but it's worth a listen, I think.
Where does she go at this moment? You know, because she's been through three
this guy's funny.
Marriages now, and it's like, are you willing to even take a shot on a new guy at this point? Like, would you be down to meet a new person, totally just kind of different guy, one who could, you know, make you laugh a little bit or make you feel small because he's so tall, or just a guy who's talking about her on the internet, like a video, like make a guy who makes a video like this and he's just sort of like trying to find a way to just talk to her because he doesn't know anybody who knows her.
So if he's doing shtick. First of all, he is doing shtick.
Yeah, of course.
He has to be doing shtick.
But you know what?
He's doing great shtick.
If she dated him, he would say yes. He would say yes.
Yeah, and I've seen interviews with him off off the set of Succession, and he's just like his character.
Yeah,
that's how he acts.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic the way he did that. That's awesome. I love that.
I know it's been said for years everybody eventually is going to get a podcast, and I didn't necessarily believe it until it was announced that the release of a show called Renegades Born in the USA. It's a Bruce Springsteen, Barack Obama podcast.
Yes.
And it's coming out soon.
On the surface, Bruce and I don't have a lot in common. He's a white guy from a small town in Jersey. I'm a black guy of mixed race, born in Hawaii. He's a rock and roll icon. I'm not as cool.
I was trying to remember the first time we actually met. Probably was in 2008 during the campaign. You came, was it in Michigan or Ohio?
I have no recall.
In our own ways, Bruce and I have been on parallel journeys, looking for a way to connect our own individual searches for meaning, truth, then community,
little
with the larger story of America.
Thank you.
And over the course of a few days, all just a few miles from where he grew up, we talked.
Doesn't sound like Bruce wants to be there.
This is a limited series.
A series.
Podcast. They're not like coming in here every day.
I'll listen.
If I listened to podcasts, I would.
Yeah.
I would listen to it all the time.
I heard like an early review that...
Where's Bruce on this? I don't really remember, Mr. President.
His fidelity should be a little bit...
Well, give
I don't remember Mr. President.
Which, all Bruce Springsteen... Look, as he gets older, can I point something out? It's going to piss a lot of people off. Bruce Springsteen is just Tony Bennett with different style of music.
You're right.
That's right. Thank you, everybody. I appreciate that. I'm going to do that.
You got to cut him a little slack on that promo, Mike, because he was drunk.
No, Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, that's terrible. That's
right. Here's
a legend.
I have the theme song to the to that podcast.
I know now why he sounded so terrible.
Why?
I mean, just in that clip, at least.
Why?
I'm looking at a picture of them on their set. And
and Mike technique?
Yeah, and Bruce's mic is like 4 feet away from him. He's like this.
Hey, Barack, it's really good to be with you. All right.
Somebody should have boosted that.
We're going to close with a classic piece of tape. Last Sunday was the last time Harry Shearer will do the voice of Dr. Hibbert on The Simpsons, and they're replacing him with an African-American voice actor.
He is Dr. Hibbert, that guy.
Exactly.
The guy we're talking about right now. Well, hillbillies like to be called Sons of the South, but it ain't going to happen.
So let's close with a classic piece of Harry Shearer, who used to be the voice of Dr. Hibbert.
All this has given me a sense of calm I've never had before.
That's the morphine.
Can you give me the morphine forever?
No way. A person on morphine all the time would constantly dissolve in inappropriate laughter.
That is your digital dumpster.
Wow,
close it up, Mike.
Close
Have
it
a
up
great
right
Tuesday.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. We got to get out of here. The Simpsons has been on for 78 years,
which
is pretty stunning to me. We want to thank Joel Rogers, big-time airline pilot, flies the Airbus Heavy, and his insights on that little problem in the sky. Thank God nobody got hurt. More fun and more thrills coming up tomorrow on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is your charming host, Mike O'Mara, saying we urge you to join us tomorrow for another fabulous time at a fabulous day. And I promise I will not be looking for pictures of fat guys to show the guys and totally not pay attention to anything that's being said on the show. We'll be back tomorrow. So long. Be happy. Make somebody else and let a smile be your handshake. So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.
Good job.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
Oh, good for you.